What if peace were just a prayer away? We're in the fifth Sunday of Easter, so 4 weeks after we celebrated that the tomb is empty, Jesus is risen. That's right. Jesus is risen. Amen. So I'm inviting you this Easter season to keep asking yourself, if the tomb is empty, then what else is possible? If the tomb's empty, what else is possible? And this week I want you to ask, is peace possible? Is peace within you and peace around you possible? Can peace with God and peace with others be part of this upside-down kingdom reality that we are called to live into, in and through you? In this tomb is empty, Easter, resurrection, life, is it possible that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of peace in our lives can somehow equip us to be peace ambassadors in the world in which we live? You know, these are big what ifs, but remember, the tomb is empty. So today we're going to dig into what the Bible says about pursuing peace, which is part of this broader theme that we're looking at on the fruit of the Spirit that fills our lives as followers of Jesus. So Galatians 5, it talks about what this fruit of the Spirit is. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So today I'm pulling out one of those. I'm pulling out the peace one. And I want you to hold on to a passage that we learned in Beatitudes not long ago. Jesus spoke this to the crowds that were following him, surrounding him. It's kind of this upside down again kingdom reality that you and I are to embrace as followers of Jesus. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Would you read that with me? Matthew 5:9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Does it bother you that last year, 2025, global conflict forcibly displaced 120 million people from their homes? Does it bother you that there were 240,000 deaths recorded last year because of violent events? I would say as a follower of Jesus, it should bother you and me, since peacemaking is the kingdom blessing God calls us to. And I know it does bother you. Some of you have had conversations with me. But now let's bring it home. Does it bother you that you have conflict in your own life, in your own family, in your own churches, in your own community? Again, the answer is the same. I know it does bother you, and I know that it bothers me too. And that's because the Bible teaches us and repeats again and again that Jesus came to bring unity among diverse people, to bring humanity together as one who love God and who love others, and to break down the dividing walls of hostility, and to do it through his own sacrificial death on the cross. And when those walls come down, we know that when peace happens, that it is a sign of the inbreaking kingdom of God all around us. It bears witness to who we are as those who love one another. So deep in our hearts, we know that conflict is supposed to trouble us. It is supposed to challenge us. That's not unique because we know who we are. We are ambassadors with a peacemaking calling and a ministry of reconciliation. The Apostle Paul, he describes this in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Saying, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So if you are a follower of Jesus, you are an ambassador of Christ, a peace ambassador of reconciliation. But in a world theater where powers and forces seem far beyond our realm of influence, we begin to question, what can I do? I mean, really, when we look at the world around us, we think, what can I do? Let me take you back to that first question. What if peace We're just a prayer away. 3 weeks ago, we had a Blessed Evangelism Sunday. BLESS is this acronym of what it means to bring people one step closer to Jesus through being a blessing. B stands for begin with prayer. And we have a little handout. There's some on your seats if you didn't happen to be with us. There's a little tarot on there that you can write down 3 to 5 people with whom God places on your heart to pray for over the next year. People that don't yet know Jesus, haven't yet committed their lives to following him. And your invitation then is to begin to pray for those people. So I invite you, if you haven't done that, to do that, tear it off and drop it in the offering box this week, because those names will go and already have gone, some of them, to the Evangelical Covenant Church, where they will all be prayed for together. Now, does that make a difference? It sounds to me like blessing others is the beginning of peacemaking. When it's centered around showing God's love, it's all centered around blessing others. So the whole idea of this is that God blesses others through you. In other words, God moves through his people. God breathes life into his church. And when we pray for real people that are being drawn to put their trust in Jesus, to be ignited by the Holy Spirit so that they may be led in God's transforming work in the world. In other words, we pray for individuals to trust Christ and to be transformed by the power of God to be transformers in the world. So you may ask, how do I pray like that? Well, I invited John to come up. He's going to read a passage for us in Colossians 1. This is how the Apostle Paul prayed, and I think it's a great place for us to start. So Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Thank you, John.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I think the Apostle Paul seems to understand what it means to be a blessing as he prays this. Now, this is a letter written to the church, but we can imagine that he has prayed this again and again for the people in Colossae. He's talking to people about Jesus. And the Blessed Evangelism curriculum of the Covenant Church, it says, talking to people about Jesus without talking to Jesus about people is insufficient. In other words, it doesn't make sense, right? Paul knew that he needed to pray and ask God what's going on with these people so that he could step into what God is already doing in and through their lives. And he writes that he hasn't stopped praying for them. And I think that's a good place for us to start. That's how we can pray. We can pray nonstop for the people that are on our list, for the 3 to 5 people. So when we pray, we're joining God in what God is already doing in people's lives. So in other words, we don't have to worry about evangelism in the sense like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not that good. No, you know, nobody told me what I need to tell this person. And what if they don't like me? And all those kinds of things and questions we ask. I'm going to feel weird and stupid. Maybe you don't feel those, but I do sometimes. But the thing is, we don't have to worry about that because God is already at work in people's lives. God is already moving and doing things that we don't yet know about until we ask God, God, tell me, what are you up to? What are you doing? And God will reveal that to us, and then our opportunity is simply to step alongside what God's already doing, step alongside the work that God is doing in their lives. So we're not trying to create something, we're simply trying to move where God is moving. So we ask God, where do I join in? Paul prays that God will fill them with the Spirit, with knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding. So when we pray, we're asking God to give people on our list a clear understanding of who they are in Christ and what God has called them to do. I mean, it's almost as simple as that, a clear understanding of who they are in Christ and what God has called them to do. So in prayer, we not only see our role in God's mission, we also begin to see people differently. We begin to listen closely. We pause. We become more patient. We become tuned to the movements of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in the lives around us as the Holy Spirit opened doors for us to step into that good news opportunity. So it's true that if we're committed to praying for wisdom and understanding for someone in our list, our interactions are going to begin to flow out of that wisdom and understanding, out of love that we have for them as the Spirit is guiding our interactions. As a wise Christian writer observed, prayer does not change God, prayer changes us. I think that's a good description when we decide God is unchangeable. God already knows what he's doing. Prayer just invites us to step into what God's doing as we are transformed. I have found that when I have a name in front of me, I have a symbol right here, but when I have a name in front of me on my desk, I pray for that person. When I have a name taped on my mirror or somewhere, I pray for that person. If it pops up on my phone, I pray for that person. So when I go on a prayer walk, I pray for people in those homes. I've had the opportunity this a year ago last spring to begin to pray for a home that God stopped me at, and I just prayed, and I began to see God do amazing things in the people's lives in that home, and I see that God is working as they're taking steps in that direction, and I hope one day they will stand up here and share their story as well of how God drew them to him. So who are you praying for? Paul prays that that person will live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. I love that prayer. It really ties into the theme that we're talking about here in the fruit of the Spirit. Now imagine those people on your list. Just take one. For the rest of this message, I want you to have one person in mind. One person you're praying for that does not yet know Jesus. Maybe God is working in their lives, maybe not. But you want to begin to focus on prayer for them and asking God, what are you doing? How can I step in? Now imagine that person's life sometime down the road, a life filled with the fruit of the Spirit. That person is full of love and full of joy. That person has peace in all the things they do, and patience and kindness. Out of that person is flowing goodness and faithfulness, and they live a life of self-control. Is that the person you imagine? Is that the person you see? That's what God is inviting us to pray in their lives. A life worthy of the Lord, to please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Paul also prays for that we become God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance to do. So he's praying also that these people that we're praying for, our prayer would be that they would have spiritual power to overcome all the powers of darkness that are trying to cause them to fall. And pray that they stand strong in Christ's glorious power, that resurrection power that left the tomb empty. Paul writes, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And Paul prays that they will respond full of grace when they're treated badly, that they would seek peace with others and not revenge, which is so prevalent in our world. Paul prays that they would come to know Jesus and be filled with thanksgiving for the kingdom of light to which they will come to belong, and that that kingdom of light will invade their homes and their families and their businesses and their schools and all the places that make up their lives. And Paul prays that your person knows Jesus and has done what he has done for them. He writes, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul prays for the people. We can pray that they become citizens of the here and not yet kingdom of God. When you pray like this, that prayer shapes you. It transforms you and changes you. It trains your heart to see people as beloved children of God who were created with a missional purpose. The people that you are praying for are people Jesus wants to be the church. So who is the church? We are the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Jesus wants them to declare that alongside of you. We are the church. And who does the church belong to? It belongs to Jesus. That's right. So we are to please him in every way. So we begin with prayer for the people that God has helped us to identify. We pray for that they would have spiritual hunger and be open to hearing the good news of the gospel. We pray that they would recognize God's movement in and around in their lives. And we would pray that they would give their lives to Jesus and experience that transformative hope of the gospel. And pray that they would trust, that we would trust God's sovereignty and God's timing as we pray for them. And be ready to respond as God shows us what to do. So, a lot of prayer. What about peace? Peace is the work of blessing. We are called as ambassadors of peace. From the very beginning, God called human beings to share in God's good creation and to spread it throughout the earth. But the first human beings, they disobeyed God. They chose their own path and sin entered the world. And the gospel begins here, but sin didn't destroy God's good plan. He instead called Abraham and through him promised to spread that goodness through all people, to all people. And that comes to us in Jesus, who came through the line of Abraham. Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection defeated sin and death, and all the earth now is on the process of returning to God's goodness forever. It's this here but not yet kingdom. It's coming, but it's not fully complete. Jesus invites us all to be part of that spiritual blessing and sharing that good news in Matthew 28, when he says, Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, we can read that passage and think to ourselves, yep, I heard that, yep, I see that, I hear that at baptism, yep, yep, yep. But the truth is, that's who we are. That's what we're called to. That's who you are as the church. You are those who call people to follow Jesus, to be baptized. You are those who teach them to obey everything that God has commanded us. And you are those with whom Jesus is present to the very end of the age, right here, right now, forever. And we are called to go and share that blessing. So this means stepping outside our comfort zones. It means engaging with people and following the Holy Spirit into uncharted territory. So one day, total peace will come. One day, we hope that one of those people on your list, those 3 to 5 that you're praying for, will experience what the Apostle John saw in Revelations 21:5. That one day, like John, who said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. God is at work right now. God is making everything new. And as you pray for those 3 to 5 people on your list, you are joining God in that work of reconciliation. You are blessed to be a blessing. John Levon, former pastor of Alexandria Covenant Church, he preached, until we have found peace with God, we can't know the peace of God. So what did Pastor John mean? That we need to know God before we have a relationship with Jesus, before we can know that peace with God. The people on your list need to know God before they're going to experience the peace of God. The apostle describes it this way in his letter to the Colossians 1:19-20. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace. Say peace. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. He made peace between God and you and I by his death on the cross. When we trust Jesus and what he has done for us, when we accept and believe, we receive peace with God, the peace of God, and we begin to share that with the world around us. And what we find out that God's peace really is just a prayer away. Mary Sutherland, she shared this. She said, when our son Jared was a little boy, we were careful to teach him our address in case he ever got lost. One night, he and his dad went before a bedtime walk, and after a few minutes of silence, Dan decided to test Jared's knowledge of where he lived. So how far are we from home? Dan asked. Jared answered, Dad, I don't know. Dan tried again, well, where are you? Again, he answered, I don't know. Then his dad said good-heartedly, sounds like you're lost, son. With a confident grin, Jared looked at his dad and responded, nope, I can't be lost. I'm with you. Do you know that piece? My dad had interesting story, grew up in faith, but he had a real renewal, almost a conversion later in life. And he went through a lot of health difficulties. And after recovering from one major heart surgery, he was in his recliner chair. He had taken up reading the Bible and had read some different passages. And he was just kind of, he said he was sitting in his chair, just leaning back, and all of a sudden, he said it was like heaven opened up before him, and he saw the glory of God, light above. And he said the overwhelming experience that he felt was just peace, complete peace. And then later on, reading further in Scripture, he come across Philippians 4:7, and he said, this is it. This is what I experienced. He said, it reads, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know that peace? When I was 25 years old, I had kind of hit rock bottom. I had grown up in the church, but I turned away from God. And I realized that my life was going down a pit, literally. And in a moment of desperation and prayer, I called out to God. I said, God, if you are real, save me. And in that moment, I experienced a peace like I had never known. It was literally as if I felt like God grabbed me up in his arms and held me like a little baby. Peace. Peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know that peace? Friends, we are called to be ambassadors of peace. We are called to be a blessing. And that begins with prayer. Because for you and the people that God has placed on your heart, peace is just a prayer away. Let us pray.